everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season seven, episode number two. Autumn will not be joining us this week. She is bi, which means she comes on bi-weekly. I don't know if she's really bi, I mean, in the other way, but we don't need to talk about that on this show. This is a pop culture show. See, I've got a shirt on. I'm not talking about sexuality, although she got a nose ring. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that video online.
Oh, there's a video?
Yeah, she put a video up of it doing it, which was, it looks extremely painful.
Where can one find that? I want to send it to my boss.
She posted it on the one topic Facebook page.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have to look at that and send it to Eric. Anyway, that doesn't matter. Hey, everybody, we're talking, if you're not familiar, the Von Hessler Doctrine, although I think most of you, if you're watching this, know about that. We had a good time, the first episode of season seven. Now, listen, Steph is welcome to come on the show whenever, and we hope that whenever her kitchen and her bathroom and all that stuff that she's getting done are finished and she's done dealing with the pain in the butt foster dog that she has, she'll be back. So don't worry. I know there's a lot of Steph fans. We're fans of Steph's, so there was no weirdness. She's just busy, and hopefully she'll come back and join us in the near future.
Sometimes you need a different perspective than three dudes.
Well, you need that spite. Oh, yeah, definitely. Three dudes, and especially a dude like me who always complains about everything and hates everything. I'm trying to get out of that mode. Moving right along. First of all, we have a guest tonight. He was just on Radio Labyrinth Presents a couple weeks ago, local actor named Brian Troxell, who was in a semi-prominent extra role. He had a speaking role in Hawkeye in the first, I think it was the first episode.
I'm Gary. What's your name?
You don't even know my name. You know, this is not going to work out. I quit.
You can't quit. Hold on.
Yeah, he was in two episodes.
That's right. I actually ended up liking Hawkeye. I didn't think I was going to as it got toward the end, but I really enjoyed it. So good job with that show, Disney. But Brian's going to come on tonight to talk about his appearance in season four of Cobra Kai, which is a show that I'm going to be interested in hearing your thoughts on. I have my own. It's an interesting show. But we'll talk about that a little later in the show amongst ourselves and with Brian, who's going to be coming on in a little bit.
Who died?
Who died?
Who died?
What's wrong? Who died?
What happened? Who died?
You know, we do occasionally, you know, who died and all that stuff. But I want to just talk about it right at the top of the show, because really another comedian that's right in our wheelhouse, the Gen X wheelhouse. He's someone that came on the scene in the early 80s, and for millennials especially, they grew up watching him on TV on two very, very big hit shows. And of course, I'm talking about Bob Saget, who just surprisingly passed away over the previous weekend here. Now, we record on Wednesday, so it's been a couple of days. But he was doing stand-up in Orlando, Florida, and he was excited about it, back on the road. And he had done a long Instagram post and a long tweet about how happy he was to be back. And then the next day, you know, they couldn't contact him. They couldn't get in touch with him. And his family started to get worried. So the hotel people entered his room, and then they found him on the bed. And I guess what everybody's saying is that it was a heart attack, right?
They're maybe saying it was because he had COVID a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I mean, he had COVID a couple of weeks ago, and then he died from...
They're saying that maybe blood clots or something is a symptom. I don't know.
Yeah, they ruled out. They ruled out within 24 hours. They did a quick preliminary autopsy and tox screen, and he, you know, no drugs. You know, no. He'd stopped doing everything years ago. But you know, damage from lots of cocaine use can, you know, weaken the heart, and then throw COVID on top of that, and it's a recipe for a heart attack. Sooner. See,
that's the thing that scared me so much about this, you know, because I just had it. Like, when are you going to drop dead? And yeah. I don't want to talk about it too much, but I mean, seriously, it's kind of scary. You know, he was only 65 years old, but he's one of those guys that looked like he was still 50.
Yeah, he was in great shape.
Yeah.
I just done a beautiful post about Betty White when she passed, and it was just, you know, sadly ironic that, you know, the description he gave for her could easily just have applied to him as well.
Right. Well, you know, he was a very funny comedian. I think the first time, I think Jeff and I both, the first time we saw him was on the 9th annual Young Comedian Special. And every year HBO would do a Young Comedian Special, and it was partnered with Rodney Dangerfield, and they did it at Dangerfield. So if you watched that in the early 80s, you saw Bob Saget, you saw Sam Kinison, Roseanne Barr, and a host of comedians. I mean, tons of them. Bob Nelson. Is that his name, Jeff? Bob Nelson?
Yeah.
You know, the guy who did the
football and my life.
Right. He did the football thing, which was a parody of the Bob Hope thing. Every year he would do the all American team and introduce everybody.
Right.
So it was, you know, but he went on after Kinison. That must have been tough.
Yeah, that's as a young comedian, I doubt he got to choose his spot in the lineup. But the fact that Rodney and everybody was like, Saget can go up after Kinison, mm-hmm. that says a lot.
And he killed.
Yeah, because nobody would want to, if it was their choice, would choose to go up after Kinison.
No, definitely not.
But he did great.
Yeah, and you know, he had a bunch of routines. I mean, back then you would record things and then you would watch it over and over and over again. Of course, HBO showed things over and over and over again, but always recorded those specials, so you'd memorize a lot of the routine. And you know, the Saget had some really good one-liners. And by the way, Bob Saget, if you don't remember, I mean, everybody knows him from Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos, which a lot of people made fun of. I think we were a little old when those shows came out, so we kind of made fun of them, like, oh my god, what's Bob Saget doing? Because we knew him as a dirty comedian. I mean, he was filthy, you know. What was that one joke? I got the body of a 10-year-old boy and the brain of a German Shepherd.
Yeah,
and they're in the trunk, and I want to show them too. There's another one. I just broke up with my girlfriend of 7 years. That's her age. I'm going to jail.
Yeah.
And then the one that I always remembered, and in fact, leads to the story, is he had a joke. He said, "Wow." Wow, what a great word. Wow. Wow backwards is wow. Wow upside down is mom. And mom upside down is dad's favorite thing. So back in the late 2000s, it must have been 2008 or very early 2009, Bob Saget was doing the Funny Farm, which was a comedy club at Star Time in Roswell. It's no longer there, but it was a pretty nice comedy club, and it was he was performing there, and he came on the regular guy show. You know, the comedians that used to come in on every Friday, you know, if they were big names, and also comics that knew Larry and Eric from L.A. That they had relationships with. And Saget came in, and I said, boy, I love that joke. And I told him that, you know, that joke, and I repeated it, and he laughed. He said, I haven't done that in a long time. So Jeff and I went to the show that night and saw him, and he did that joke, which is cool.
That's cool.
I thought we had pictures taken with him, but I don't think we did, or otherwise we'd have them. But I did take a picture with him in the studio. I'm reticent to post things like that because everybody does it. That's a radio thing. Hey, I met this person.
Yeah,
I'm guilty of it. So I tried. Instead, I drew a doodle, a sketch of him, which I thought
that was really good.
Thank you. I thought it came out pretty well. Somebody on Facebook said, oh, I didn't know he had a dick for a nose. And I got mad. The same guy that I banned from my main Facebook page because I posted a picture of my stepmother holding Gil, and then he posted a picture of Frodo and went, my precious. And then fuck with my family. But anyway, also he did so many things, TV, movies, the roasts, you know, Norm Macdonald's epic roast of him. Remember that, where he read the old timey jokes?
I was really looking forward to his new video show that he was going to do. They only ever shot one episode. And it was like a new America's Funniest Home Videos kind of thing.
Right.
But it was like viral videos, and they would like pay you if they picked your video.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to pay people like $500 or whatever. So the videos were going to be like really good quality and really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can still find that episode anywhere, but the pilot was the only thing that ever aired.
That sucks, man. Just everything sucks about getting old, and your heroes and people that you thought would be around as long as you were are gone. I mean, you know, the old timey comics, they're gone. And you're like, oh, well, that person was 98 years old. Well, we're getting to that age. So anyway, he also directed Dirty Work, which is a classic cult film, turned out to be a cult film, with the late Norm Macdonald. Chevy Chase is in it, Arnie Lang. Don Rickles is in it. It's a great movie. The guy who got arrested for DUI on New Year's Eve. What's
David Koechner?
Yeah, David Koechner.
Half Baked too.
Yeah,
his cameo in Half Baked.
To suck dick for coke.
I seen him.
Now that's an addiction, man. You ever suck some dick for marijuana? Huh?
But wasn't Dirty Work Chris Farley's last movie?
No, like
he did that movie piece. With Matthew Perry.
Yeah,
okay. All right. That was his last movie.
Yeah. So rest in peace to Bob Saget. Definitely won't be forgotten, and will live on forever in syndication. But definitely a huge loss, especially to the world of comedy. Somebody who was of age in his 80s who passed away, but a big, big name in movies, Peter Bogdanovich. And Peter Bogdanovich did so much in the early 70s up to the 80s that pretty much made him as a director. He didn't do an awful lot after the 80s. He continued to direct. There's a fantastic podcast that you, if you're interested in old school filmmakers and you know who Peter Bogdanovich is, but you're not familiar, there's a podcast called The Plot Thickens, and it's a fantastic look at his career. He's on it. There's all sorts of people that he interacted with and worked with. Of course, he was known for being friends with Orson Welles. Orson Welles lived with him when Peter Bogdanovich was living with Sybil Shepherd. He left his first wife, by the way, for Sybil Shepherd. And side note, they made a movie in the 80s with Ryan O'Neill and Shelley Long and Drew Barrymore called Irreconcilable Differences. It's also the first movie where Sharon Stone shows her tits. Anyway, so I didn't want Gil to hear that. I didn't want to go out and try to rent that. But it's loosely based sort of on Peter Bogdanovich meeting up with Sybil Shepherd. And I used to watch that movie all the time because I'd be home from school and Sharon Stone's tits. So I was young at that time. It's not a terribly fantastic film, but it's not bad.
I'm still mad at him because he didn't tell Dr. Melfi to clue Tony in on being attacked that time.
Well, that whole thing was about good versus evil and doing the right thing over doing the thing that benefits you. Now, that's, you know, we're all like emotional, and we're talking about the episode in season 3 of The Sopranos where it's called Employee of the Month, where Dr. Melfi is sexually assaulted by some dude. And she tells Tony that she was in a car accident, and she knows she has that ultimate power where she could tell this mob boss, Tony Soprano, that she was raped. She knows who the guy was because she saw his picture on the wall at a restaurant. That's because he was an employee of the month. The police let him go on a technicality, all these things. She could have told Tony who he was. Tony would have killed the guy or had him killed. But of course, that doesn't happen because it's a morally and ethically wrong. So. Anyway, we all wanted that to happen, but you know, if you know David Chase and you know Dr. Melfi's character, by the way, Peter Bogdanovich played Dr. Melfi's psychiatrist in The Sopranos. His name was Elliot Kupferberg, and he always had that water bottle, and he was really smug. But he was great in that role. And you know, they interviewed him on Talking Sopranos podcast. You can find all these things. If you're a fan and you're not, you know, into and you don't know about all these things, go find him. Peter Bogdanovich, very interesting person. He made a movie. You ever see that movie that he did with John Ritter, Jeff?
I must have seen it. I don't remember. What's it about?
I don't really remember myself what it's about. I'm trying to find it. I'm going to find it. And I think we should watch it and talk about it.
Probably on Tubi.
Probably. I love Tubi. So we're not going to be able to go ahead, Dustin.
Well, I was just going to say, I remember seeing him in the chapter 2 of the It movie recently, and they're making that movie. He plays the director in that movie. Yeah,
That's right. I forgot about that. Those movies are so forgettable.
Yeah. And Get Shorty. That was the other one that he was recently.
The original Get Shorty?
No, the series.
That's right. Well, listen, too much to talk about when it comes to these big guys, but Paper Moon won Paper Moon, the Oscar winning Tatum O'Neill movie where she and her dad are going door to door selling Bibles, and it's black and white. Great movie. She was one of the youngest people to ever win an Academy Award. Ryan O'Neill's in it. She's in it. I used to watch that on HBO all the time.
Sybil Shepherd was naked in that.
I know you could. Did see her tits. Wait, what was Cybill Shepherd naked in?
Wasn't she naked in Paper Moon?
She's not in Paper. Oh yeah, maybe. Oh shit, I don't know. I don't remember the. I remember the Bible movie because they were selling Bibles. I don't remember that. Because when that, yeah, maybe I hadn't reached puberty yet. All right, so before we get to our guest, Brian Troxell, who's on the show to talk about season 4 of Cobra Kai, let's have a brief discussion about the other show that dropped recently, the weekly serial on Disney Plus called The Book of Boba Fett. Episode 3 dropped today. Again, we record on Wednesdays. I gave it a shot, watched it. Danny Trejo is in it, Stephen Root, and says here on the notes, the chick from Yellow Jackets, which I wouldn't know.
You're not watching Yellow Jackets?
I told you, I don't have Showtime.
Oh, man, you're missing out.
And the actress's name is Sophie Thatcher. I'm assuming she's one of the ridiculous motorcycle or Vespas, yeah. The space Vespas.
I didn't like the fact that they were so brightly colored. That threw me off a little.
I didn't either. That's so absolutely not Star Wars at all.
Yeah.
This episode to me was interesting, but also disappointing because the whole subplot of the Tusken people, the sand people, the Tusken Raiders, all being, spoiler alert, all being wiped out. And I don't understand it. Who did it? Well, I guess you know who did it.
It's those JL people, whoever they are.
I think it's meant to look like it's the JL people, but I think it was the mayor or the it's mayor the still people. And the because he's working with the what do they call them? The fish pikes. Yeah.
Pikes, but they look like fleas. Are they supposed to be fish?
I thought they were supposed to be fish because they were so concerned about having the water, and they wear those helmets that kind of keep the water against.
First of all, this whole planet is sand. The whole fucking planet is sand, and they have little berries that grow. They have water in them, but the
all right, Anakin.
I don't like sand.
Now listen, sand everywhere. No, but they ride around on these woolly mammoths with horns. I mean, how hot is those things would fucking collapse and die, like that. Stephen Root was funny. He's always good. You could put him in anything and he's going to be good in it. Same with Danny Trejo, although, you know, the Rancor, I brought the Rancor. You can be nice to, I like he's petting the Rancor. It's
the new Rancor Wrangler. Remember that guy from the original movie?
I was hoping Trejo was going to have that funny hat that he wore, but no, instead he brought in the cuddly Rancor, which he said he wants to ride. He was like, I've rode things bigger than this before. He's talking about the dragon from the cartoon.
I'm going to keep watching it because I want to see how it plays out. And I know that there's going to be some surprises as you get toward the end. But I mean, there's way too much going on, I think. I really didn't like the goofball kids with the, you know, the robotic eye and the arm and leg and all that crazy shit.
That was a cool action sequence with them, but I didn't like the color of their speeder bikes or whatever.
And I didn't like the mayor's assistant's, you know, 64 Cadillac.
With the over-under headlights. Yeah.
Yeah, with the grill and the steering wheel. Give me a break. I mean, okay, it's an interesting show. I like the character. I like the big, you know, the mean Wookiee, whatever.
I don't know how you pronounce his name. It's Black Kirstan or something.
In the comics, Boba Fett and him were partnered up like Han and Chewie.
Yeah, in the expanded universe that Disney's destroyed, right? The canon.
Yeah. Yeah, that they're slowly just milking of all of its ideas and just, you know, putting them back together however they want.
Well, yeah, when are they going to bring around Darth Nihilus? Darth Nihilus. You have to be in, listen to the Stern Show pre-2010 to get that. Darth Nihilus. I'm Darth Nihilus.
That Wookiee was cool, though.
Yeah, he was.
I like his armor and his whole attitude.
Yeah. He'll be back.
I'm 50-50 on that show. Like I said, I'm going to keep watching it. I don't think it's anywhere near as good as The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian had a better tale, I think. I don't really know what's going on with this show, but I'm not going to bail on it. I'm going to keep going because it's not terrible. And plus it's, you know, non-woke Star Wars. So it's pretty cool to watch that.
Yeah, it seems like it'll be a season one of exposition before it gets to any true story. And that's, but you know, if that's what it takes and they plan on putting some more time into it, great.
You got to wonder if any characters, now I've seen spoiler spoiler, not spoiler, but I've seen these, I've watched these videos. Do you guys ever watch Doomcock or, Doomcock or any of those guys?
No.
On YouTube. He hates Disney and he loves Star Wars and he hates Disney, but he does good videos. It's affiliated with another show that I can't quite remember at the moment. But the rumor is that they have permission from the Carrie Fisher's estate to put her in things. And also there's supposed to be Han Solo in this toward the end. So who knows? We'll see. You know, they'll be digitally altered like Luke was at the end of Mandalorian.
Now, I wonder if they're going to use the actor from Solo or not.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I heard that they would use that they were going to
digitally
de-age.
Yeah, de-age him. I don't think it would be actually him. They'd have to find somebody to do the voice.
You know, Matt Berry's his robot character.
Mm-hmm.
Seen him before, burning the feet of that square.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He was on the Jawa thing, burning the feet of the big fat Jawa droid.
Yeah.
I do like that. You kind of, you know, in this most recent episode of the Book of Boba Fett, you saw a protocol droid that kind of had an effeminate voice, just like say, "Oh my!" He was crossing the street. There's a lot of great Easter eggs, and there are good videos on YouTube where you can find people showing you every little minute Easter egg detail. So, you know, if you're interested in that sort of thing, and I am, so I do it. I wish I could remember the name of that other guy. He's a really good Nerdrotic. That's his name, Nerdrotic. He usually does takedown videos, you know, like hate videos. I hate Doctor Who. I don't like it either, but I can't imagine, you know, doing an hour complaining video about it. But his videos are good. He has a cool basement with all sorts of figures and everything. Speaking of cool basements, did we talk about this last week?
We got a video from Anthony. He sent us a video that he had got Night Patrol, like you had suggested to him, and he was going to check it out and let us know what he thought of it, since you brought it up so highly. And he found it on VHS, and it would look like a pristine copy too.
Hello, hope everyone's doing well. Just wanted to say I got Night Patrol, and oddly enough, Jackie Kong, the director of Night Patrol, directed Blood Diner. And I'm a huge fan of that one. So I'm looking forward to it. I appreciate it. I'll let you know my thoughts.
I wonder if he watched it and went, "Oh, this is terrible." It is not a good movie, but it is a great movie. You have to figure that out.
Yeah, I think he would appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, it is absolutely 100% an 80s movie.
Yeah, it's campy. I'm sure he would get that.
Yeah, especially with Andrew Dice Clay going, "I do impressions. You want to see my John Travolta? Hey, I'm fucking John Travolta." With Atlanta's very own Brian Truxell. Well, welcome back to the show. You were on about a month ago. We were talking about Hawkeye last time. Being a pretty cool show. I thought it was neat the way they had, by the way, spoiler alert, Kingpin and a lot of other things going on. It was great.
Yeah, Kingpin was a surprise even to me. I didn't get full scripts. I just got the sides for the scenes we were supposed to film, but there was no inference about Kingpin, no nothing. And there were quite a few other things that got cut out of episode 6. I know I mentioned I had a scene on the ice rink that got cut out, and there was another scene, and I don't even know if I can say this because is it a spoiler if it didn't happen? If it didn't happen. No. It was a scene where Kate Bishop's father was still alive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
So they cut a lot of I know whether that was misdirection or never intended to be filmed, but yeah, there was quite a bit cut out of it. But yeah, but I thought it was great. I enjoyed the show quite a bit.
Yeah, he was so good as the character, and you know, he's more than just one dimensional, you know, bow and arrow guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun, and that's the kind of thing I like seeing, because like all these Marvel movies that took a decade to get to the end.
Right.
They're great in their on their own, you know what I mean? But these little one-off series like Hawkeye and WandaVision are just little slices of life in that universe that I've just enjoyed a lot.
And I think six episodes was the right amount. It didn't overstay its welcome. It told its little story and got out.
Kind of like Cobra Kai has been doing over the course of there. Now, we're on season 4 of Cobra Kai, which you can watch on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Began on YouTube. So YouTube
Red.
Yeah, that's right. YouTube Red.
Yeah, and as Matt Lewis, one of the other plays Ron, one of the other All Valley board members. He has a story about telling people about the first season of Cobra Kai and to his friends, and they're like, "Well, where can I watch it? It's on YouTube Red." Okay. Get right on that.
So Brian, you play a character. Now, just before we get to that, just to recap, we're on season four. Season one, you see Johnny try to bring back Cobra Kai and Daniel's bitch, and it's kind of a juxtaposition of the way they were when they first met. One was rich, one was poor. And, you know, they meet and they battle, blah, 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 and they create their own dojos. Season two, and then you get to season three, where the arc brings in some old characters, including Daniel going to Okinawa and meeting some of the characters from Karate Kid 2. Elizabeth Shue shows up to mess with something. I don't know why she's there, but it's fun. I mean, you get this little bite of when I'm watching this show, I just smile because of this little weird nostalgia thing that it's not like shoved down your throat. It's just there. It's just there. And then you have the stories of the kids and, you know, it's not a heavy show. It's just an enjoyable light show that if you follow it, you know, you can get into the lore. Now you get into season four and you get the maniacal Terry from season three who taught Daniel the bad karate. And now he's back with you know, the Cobra Kai people. And it's an interesting story arc. Daniel, yeah. I think they're having a hard time. How are you going to have a conclusion of Daniel and Johnny?
Right.
I mean, I'm only on episode seven. I just finished six, which is your first episode in the season. Okay.
But previously was their rematch fight. So you've seen that, right?
Right. Yeah.
And they did. Yeah. And I was watching that and I was like, you can't have one of them win. So I think they ended that perfectly with the simultaneous kicks and them both knocking each other out. But I kind of agree with you. How do you end that story between the two of them?
Yeah, I would like to see them, you know, gel. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my hardest things to reconcile with the show is that, all right, well, we're going to keep fighting about whose style of karate is better and whose is worse and all that.
You're only up to episode six. I don't want to spoil anything, but I feel like throughout the last few episodes, they show that maybe if they had gelled and gotten together, mm-hmm. that they would have had better results if they had, but the fact that they're not working together is kind of like their downfall.
That's the problem. It's learning to not put everything behind one dojo and one style of karate because mm-hmm. they're learning things from each other, you know, throughout this entire season. It seems like, and drawing, you know, kind of opening up to each other, at least, you know, the way they think.
Yeah. And I think a great underlying theme of this season in that part and everything else is when they say, end the cycle, break the cycle mm-hmm. of all the stuff, all the retro, all the nostalgia, all the thinking of the old ways, break all that and build new things. And I think in a way this season four has sort of, I think their own storylines with the kids and everything else has sort of transcended mm-hmm. the nostalgia aspect of it. I think the writing stands on its own very well. If you're treating it as a Karate Kid sequel 30 years later or not, I think the show and the stories where they are now hold up on their own.
And your character has a very pivotal role in mm-hmm. changing the structure of breaking the cycle, it looks like, at least for the competition.
Yeah, you would think that the scene, the first time we see you is all the people who were involved in putting on the All Valley Karate Championship Tournament, right?
Right.
And so you have the board members and they're all sitting around and that's such a great scene because it kicks off episode six and they're like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Everybody's fighting like bureaucrats would fight.
Yeah.
And
you're still stuck with the blue mats though.
That was a very fun day. We spent a whole day filming that. There was a lot. They just let us play, the showrunners and the director. you know, they had the basic things that they wanted to hit, but they just said, you know, all right, now let's just go nuts. And so we had a lot of freedom, all of us, Matt Lewis and Keith Arthur Bolden and Kara Ann Marie, Kurt Yu and myself, had a lot of freedom to just go wild with anything we wanted to do. And they had done a good job. Even some of the stuff they put in the script that didn't make the episode, done a good job adding some flavor to all these characters, because everybody else was around in season one, and they could have been just, you know, stock cookie cutter bureaucratic characters, but I think they've really built them up. And of course the actors did a great job of just, you know, making them their own thing. Like, you know, why is George so cranky? Yeah. Every time's divorced and misogynist, and I think it was, yeah. So they let us have a good old time. There were a few things that didn't, because originally when they introduced me, there was a longer speech about how Daniel had to resign from the board because he's a sensei. Mm-hmm. And they had this like zoom in shot and they're building up to be somebody else famous. And then it turned out to be just me. Like a nobody's ever heard of before.
Yeah,
that didn't make it, but that was a lot of, they let us go crazy with that. It was a fun day.
Now, were all the people on the board local actors from Atlanta?
Yes. All five of us, there were three background folks on the board, but all five of us are local from Atlanta. Other four were in the first season when Johnny Lawrence came back to get Cobra Kai in the tournament again, and they approved that. So they're returning from season one, and I was the only new face.
Both the boardroom scene, I'm sure that was that a set, or and where was the tournament shot?
The boardroom scene was a set at Cobra Kai Studios down in the West End. You'd be surprised how many things are sets. Like even the exteriors, even the outdoor stuff are sets. They do a great job. The set decorators do a great job. I mean, it looked like we were in a conference room somewhere, but no, that was just a set built in their studio. And then the tournament was filmed, I want to say, at Lithia Springs High School.
Wow.
Back in March. I think
you can tell that Mr. Miyagi's house looks exactly like Mr. Miyagi's house does in the movie.
Yeah, that's a set.
They don't shoot that outside someplace?
I know the interior of the house is a set.
Okay.
And I believe, I know they have an outdoor setup inside the studio with fake backgrounds and
okay
that stuff. So I don't quote me. I mean, you're quoting on me. because I'm like saying this on video. There's a lot of, I mean, obviously there's some, the stuff that's actually of the Valley in California was filmed. But most of the stuff they filmed is here in Atlanta.
Right. So we say, and I've always said on Radio Labyrinth, to keep it canon. And when it comes to this show, boy, do they keep it canon. Again, with, you know, talking about season three, when you had Chosin, mm-hmm, and the Okinawa scenes and all the people that were in the original movies being in this show. I really enjoy the return of Terry Silver, who was the guy that you absolutely hated in Karate Kid 3. Now, Karate Kid 3, out of all the originals with Ralph Macchio, is probably the weakest of the three. But he was still an interesting, wacky character. So that actor's name is Thomas Ian Griffith.
Right.
Did you interact with any of these guys? I mean,
only because when we were doing the tournament scenes, they were busy filming all the fights. So they were all busy. Right. And they just brought Keith was doing the announcing. And we're getting ahead of, I don't want to spoil anything in the later episodes, but we were just sort of off doing our own thing. And we were on set whenever we wanted to be, so we could watch all of it, but I didn't have any interaction with them other than, you know, maybe a random chat around the trailers.
I've heard that Martin Cove is a real nice guy.
Martin Cove is a very nice guy.
It's
weird because he's so awful on the show, but he's so not in real life.
Yeah.
Five of us board members, we would just hang out outside our trailers and just chat all day because we got along great. We got along like we'd known each other forever. And so we were hanging out one day and Billy Zabka was outside his trailer smoking a cigarette. And Marty Cove walked over to him and they were talking for a bit and Marty Cove got a phone call. And so he answers the phone. He goes, "Marty Cove, I'm not doing much. I'm just standing here talking with my favorite person." He looks down and then he says, "Marty Cove."
Do you believe that? Well, they've already greenlit it. Do you think? Have you heard any of the rumors? Do you think Hilary Swank will be in for Cobra Kai 5?
They have already finished filming.
What?
Season 5. If you can.
No way.
They finished filming season 5 before the end of the year.
I did not know that. I thought they were just going to start doing it. Okay.
They got right back in it. I believe the showrunners were saying that they intended to take a break, but they sat down and started scribbling ideas, and it all just came out. So they just got right back on it. So yeah, season 5 is in the can.
I wonder if there anything will leak from that, because I would love to see her character. That was actually not a bad film, Karate Kid. Whatever the next
Karate Kid. Yeah.
Yeah, but it'd be cool.
They made a point of saying that Hilary Swank movie is part of the Karate Kid universe
because right. He's in it. Because yeah. Miyagi's in it.
Yeah, Mr. Miyagi taught her. So
yeah.
If he's trying to round up people that have been with Mr. Miyagi before in the past.
Yeah, the Justice League of Karate Kids.
Yeah.
Now, without spoiling it too much, can you tell me why I'm not very good with these names, so I'm gonna say it anyway. Yuji Okamoto, who is Chosin.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he show up? I know he shows up in the last episode. Can you tell me without spoiling it? Does he show up to race Daniel and do a bad Howard Cosell impression?
No, it's sort of the very, he shows up at the very end as sort of a setup for season 5.
Okay. That's all I want to hear. I'll get to it when I get to it. Lane Meyer, A Study in Moppishness. Remember that?
It's an awesome spectacle. An audacious display of seething opponents.
That blew me away when I found out that was him.
I'm just going to say that they're going to need a new face for whatever dojo they put together. And maybe he could be that face.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just speculation.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because we talked about, actually the rest of the board members and I talked about this on another interview, about we're not sure where that stands after the results of the tournament.
Are you going to be in season 5? Or can't you say?
I'd like to leave this hanging and say, yeah. Well, I can't say, but no, I'm not in season 5.
Oh, well, what else are you working on right now? Anything coming up that you can talk about?
I have an episode no, I can't say it.
Okay.
I have one more cool thing. I have one more cool thing that I filmed in November. I think I couldn't talk about it the last time we talked, and I still can't talk about it.
Okay. Well, we look forward to it. Definitely look forward to it. Please.
Yeah, be sure and let us know.
Always keep us updated on what you're doing, and with, you're still doing work with Sketchworks, right?
Yeah, still doing work with Sketchworks. We have a new writing class starting at the end of January 31st. So if anybody's interested in learning how to write sketch comedy, head to sketchworkscomedy.com. That's there. I did put my website up. I know last time we talked, you said you have a website, and I said no. But now I have a website.
You have a website. What is it?
BrianTroxell.com, which is pretty clever.
You nailed it. That wasn't already taken?
No, somehow it wasn't. Although on IMDb, I am Brian Troxell 2, because there's a Brian Troxell who apparently writes and directs horror movies in Florida, who got his IMDb page like a couple months before I got mine. So
no.
I don't even have one.
Well, I'm enjoying the Sketchworks news breaks. I've been catching those every week, and those are great.
Yeah, what's going on with that Antarctica COVID outbreak?
It's the anti-vax penguins, man.
Yeah.
Be careful of them.
Awesome. Well, Brian, thank you for coming back on the show. And
sure.
Again,
anytime, man.
You're always welcome to come on and let us know what you're up to. So,
okay.
Thanks. And Tim, you'll see him again once you get to the final episode of the season.
Okay.
Along with a big superstar.
Yeah. We did have a scene cut out of episode 10, which I won't mention because it hinges on what happens in episode 9. But it was fine. We were fine with that cut because everything was so tense at the end of episode 10. And this was kind of like some comic relief that didn't really need to be there.
But. Okay.
When you finish the series, we can talk about that.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks, man.
So if you haven't watched Cobra Kai yet, well, what's wrong with you? You need to watch Cobra Kai. We all like it. And I was texting Steph the other day. She likes it.
And everybody else in the world seems to like it, too. It's been the biggest show.
She doesn't like it. My bad. She likes the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, okay. She doesn't like Cobra Kai?
Yeah, but I don't. Yeah, I mean, hey, you can't like everything.
Right.
Don't want to hate her for that. Come on. A little bit of news. If you're a fan of The Sopranos and a fan of White Lotus, well, guess what? Michael Imperioli has joined the cast for the next season of White Lotus, along with Aubrey Plaza, who I guess most recently was on Legion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we all liked White Lotus. Look forward to seeing Christopher's take on White Lotus.
What if Christopher is the new manager of the other White Lotus resort?
That would be pretty cool. Be in every episode. Are any cast members returning from season one?
I haven't heard. I think he said he wanted to do like all new casts every time.
Yeah, that would make sense. But I'd like to see what's your Jennifer Coolidge come back. Jennifer Coolidge. She's great. Too bad Autumn's not on. She does a great impression of her. So that's good news. And I watched the first episode of season two of The Righteous Gemstones. Boy, that was funny.
You haven't watched both episodes?
No, not yet.
Oh, man.
But I like Eric Roberts. He's funny.
Yeah. This is my version of Succession.
Oh, yeah.
I hate Succession, but I fucking love Righteous Gemstones.
Good.
But it's all the same kind of shit that people are plotting to take over when the dead goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the fact that John Goodman went apeshit and broke that guy's thumbs.
Yeah. They were sticking like straight out.
Yeah, that was gross. So, because at the beginning of the episode, I didn't know that it was him on the motorcycle, or that he was a pro wrestler or any of that shit. But anyway, if you haven't seen Righteous Gemstones, watch season one and then catch season two, which just started on HBO. And again, it's serialized, so you're not going to get every episode all at once and you don't have to binge it.
They did release two episodes, though, the first week, which was
cool. I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so real quick, we're going to talk about our staff picks. Mine, again, going to Tubi. And I watched all three of these. They're about 2 hours apiece, so that's give or take 6 hours. But it's called Time Warp, the greatest cult films of all time. There are three volumes, Midnight Madness, which is the midnight movies like Rocky Horror Picture Show and a bunch of other ones, horror and sci-fi, and then comedy and camp. And you have your hosts are Joe Dante, the director, John Waters, also a director, Ileana Douglas, who, in addition to being an actress, does a podcast and talks a lot about Hollywood and films and stuff like that. And Kevin Pollak, who doesn't really have much to do with it, but he's there and he talks a little bit. And then, I have the people from the movies. They talk about Big Lebowski. They talk about all sorts of things. Buckaroo Banzai. Of course, you have Jeff Goldblum talking about what it was like to be in that movie and the things he did in that movie and all sorts of people. So that's an enjoyable. If you have 6 hours to kill over the course of a week, it's a good documentary. That's my staff pick.
How much does Tubi paying you, by the way?
Nothing. I'm just I wish they'd give me some money. It's a good channel.
My staff pick is a new podcast just started this week called Fly on the Wall Podcast,
mm-hmm.
hosted by David Spade and Dana Carvey.
Okay.
And it's just like being a fly on the wall at SNL. I've only listened to one episode. There's two episodes out now. But Chris Rock is on the first episode. And it's just like old stories and shit from.
Oh, dude. That sounds great.
It's fucking great.
I'm going to follow it right now. Spotify, or is it everywhere, or just
I got it on the Apple podcast app, but I'm sure it's everywhere.
I'm gonna listen on Spotify from now on, because then you get that report at the end of the year.
Yeah. I don't listen to enough stuff on Spotify. I think Last Podcast on the Left is the only thing I go there for regularly.
Is that not on any other?
No, it's only on Spotify.
Oh. What's your staff pick, Dustin?
My staff pick is Now, it's The Rescue, but it's on National Geographic on Disney Plus, and it's not about mice. it's the documentary of a few years ago when those 12 boys and their teacher went in a cave And then the cave started filling up with water and they had to be rescued by divers. And it was a huge media event when it happened. But the documentary goes through and kind of just details everything about it and how, you know, amazing it was that, you know, they get there, finally get there, and, you know, thinking that, you know, there would be deaths or there would be, you know, and these kids were all, you know, meditating. Their teacher mm-hmm. had them meditating to stay calm and to use less oxygen, and it worked. And, you know, it's an amazing story. And I wish they would make a kind of a feature length film out of it as opposed to a documentary, but the documentary is done very well.
They don't have a little mouse voiced by Bob Newhart that they send down the well to find the kids.
Yeah, they put them on the back of a seagull and let them fly through and find them.
Remember that movie? I remember it, but I don't remember what happened in it. I haven't seen it in so long. It came out when we were little kids, though, right? Or elementary school.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, those are our staff picks. We should start doing a better job of sharing those on social media so we get A, credit for it, and B, you can follow and easily go to find out exactly what we're talking about. So I'll try to do that this weekend.
Views, views, views.
Or.
You can snooze.
Views or snooze, number one, Peacemaker starts this week.
Gotta view that, right? Gotta use that, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a view for me. John Cena is just like, I don't know. He's replaced The Rock for me as far as former wrestlers that are acting now in all these movies and stuff.
I like Cena and I like The Rock because they'll go back every once in a while, or they'll pay tribute to WWE, the reason they're famous. Batista doesn't do that. He's kind of a douche about it. So, and plus, I don't think he's that great of an actor. Anyway, I like it. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, reviews for me.
Yeah, me too.
Number two is Afterlife. The third and final season starts this week on Netflix. That's the Ricky Gervais show.
Yeah.
That's definitely a views for me. The other two seasons are the most heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
I mean, to be so funny, but to also just get you in the feels every time. You know, he's a genius when it comes to writing, but I had no idea he could write things that were funny, but also just pull your heartstrings.
Yeah.
That'll be an eventual views for me.
Eventual? There.
Yeah.
And number three, Tim, you won't be able to watch this because you traded Showtime for Tubi. They're having the Ray Donovan movie coming up this week.
Caitlin loves Ray Donovan, so that might be a reason to get it for a couple of months.
Just so you can watch Dexter and Yellow Jackets, man.
Yeah.
Well, the Ray Donovan movie.
Yeah, and this Ray Donovan movie. It's a views for me. I want to see what happens.
Yeah. Is this like putting a point on it? This is the end?
Yeah, I think this is like the wrap-up movie that they gave him instead of renewing it for another season.
Yeah, I don't even remember the last season, so I'll have to rewatch that one. That was, they had the guy, was that when they were in New York?
Yeah, they've been in New York for like the last two seasons.
Okay.
No, I never watched Ray Donovan. I never watched it to begin with, but so yeah, I'll snooze just on that fact, but I might get around to it. Like Dennis,
yeah, go back and start
now
it.
Now that I've got Showtime, yeah, I can go back and watch
it. Yeah, if you ever get into it, you'll really dig it.
He's an awesome character. He's like a Hollywood fixer kind of guy.
And in the first season, you got Elliot Gould and all these great characters that you know, stick around for quite a while.
And those like all the celebrities that fuck up and you know, like somebody dies. I'm talking about Ray Donovan.
Yeah.
Somebody dies and Ray's got to show up and like get the celebrity out of there without them getting caught. And
get the hooker out of the room.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's kind of like a wolf, Mr. Wolf from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, exactly.
So pretty please, with sugar on top. Clean the fucking car.
That's a views for me.
That's a views for me too. And one way or the other, we'll figure out how to do it. All right, guys, listen, you can follow us on social media. Radio Labyrinth is all over the place. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Labyrinth. We also have the Super Secret Radio Shack, which you can talk smack with people. What is the name of our former co-host's site where he posts all the movie memes and quotes.
Oh, sorry, your mom blew up.
Yeah, sorry, mom blew up, Ricky. Yeah,
sorry, your mom blew up, Ricky. That's a great site run by Ira Malkin. And all you can follow us on Twitter at @radio_labyrinth. We are on TikTok and we are on Instagram. And you just type it in and you'll find it. Also, we have a little YouTube page, which is great. That's growing. I see that we're growing slowly, but surely we're getting there.
We're getting there.
And Dustin does a great job with that. All the videos, they look really, really good. And we would love it if you'd subscribe there. Even if you're not into the watching the YouTube video and you're a classic listener on your various podcast catchers or whatever, please just subscribe, because the more subscribers we get, that really goes toward us getting more, I don't know, whatever we get.
If your computer's just sitting there idle, just, you know, play one of our videos.
Yeah, over and over and over and over.
And just put it on repeat.
Yeah, hit a playlist and just hit that playlist and just let it go. Go on vacation, just hit that playlist.
Let it go, let it go, let it go. If you'd like to become a Patreon member, producers, it's $25 a month, and you get to choose a t-shirt. We have other levels too. We got to revamp that, but in the meantime, if you just would like to join for even $1, $2, $3, $5, whatever, it is patreon.com/timandrews.
Yeah.
So I see there's a little note here. I don't know if we should say it or not, but it looks like somebody wants to come on the show or is interested in coming on. When do you think that'll happen?
He said he's been doing a lot of media with all the attention of the series that he's on.
Yeah.
So he says when that's kind of dies down, he'll be able to find some time for us.
Awesome. That is great news. I'd love to have him on. And then we might have another guest too, but all this mystery, we can't really say until I get an approval on that. But anyway, guys, great show. And to all you out there watching or listening, thank you very much. Please remember to like and subscribe to the video if you're new. And if that's your thing, or subscribe wherever your podcast catcher finds us. So until next week, please remember to, just like Cobra Kai, keep it canon.